services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 219. I'm Adam. Who's making funny noises? I bet that's Mary.
Probably.
I'm Adam, and if you fail me again, I will destroy you. And here's Mary Lang.
As Tegan would say, zap.
Kobe Bartlett Sloan.
Who are you?
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the quote.
I thought we had sudden amnesia.
And Debbie Melrose.
Oh, I'm not letting you out of my sight. You've raised too many questions that I want answering.
For goodness sake. Yes, sorry? This week... You can't... Never mind.
Adam, I think you talked right over Debbie's quote.
Oh, go on, say it again. Not...
Oh, I'm not letting you out of my sight. You raised too many questions that I want answering.
And I said, you're not out of my sight because you're sat right next to me, so it doesn't really work. Anyway, moving on, right. Welcome to the 20 megabyte squeaky chairs podcast, where we'll be looking at Mordred Undead. Which is another way of saying it.
Mordred, the word Mordred means undead. So this is undead.
Thank you, Kobe.
Or Mordred.
Very fortunately, I have a can of Foster's in front of me just to quell my pain. Having to listen to various nonsenses coming from the American side of the podcast.
Right, we're not getting any nonsense from Matthew because he said he was going to join us.
Yes, we are. He's not turning up for the show. That's nonsensical in itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Matthew!
Anyway, it starts with a title sequence. And,
really?
And a sort of an obelisk. In the grounds of a school. Now, I'm sure at some point Kirby's going to tell us what obelisk and what school that's actually part of.
Trent Park.
Thank you very much.
Middlesex. And by the way, all the whomping back and forth or whatever it is that the Brigadier says, they did not do because they're half a mile apart from the building to the obelisk.
Okay. And also, isn't whomping to do with the Harry Potter film? With a whomping willow.
Excuse me?
The Whomping Willow in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Anyway, we very quickly meet Hippo and Turlough, charming lads. Well, Turlough isn't.
No.
Who are sort of admiring the Brigadier's car and some very short trunks, which obviously are part of the time.
Fred was commenting about those shorts.
They are horrendous, aren't they? And then, of course, Turlough takes the car for a bit of a spin and... very quickly crashes it.
By the way, all the facts that Turlough says about the car are real, about that particular style and model of car.
I'm sure it is. Well, it would be silly for it not to be, wouldn't it?
I've known the facts to be played fast and loose.
Yeah, but when it comes to cars, you don't get away with stuff like that. What I thought was quite interesting was the disco lights that were behind Turlough's head while he was sort of... in limbo.
Oh, that was strange. Yeah. Oh, by the way, which way did you watch this? There's
by video. I was watching the video of it. I was watching the DVD. Yes.
But were you watching it with the enhanced effects or the
regular? No, I didn't know there was one with enhanced effects. I was just showing the regular standard one. Yes, I don't think I've seen one with the enhanced effects.
There are enhanced effects. It doesn't do much. But like when the transmat thingy, the sphere, goes back and forth, it appears in a different sort of special effect. That's pretty much it.
Wow! So I'm quite glad I decided.
But it's available.
Thank you, Kirby. Anyway,
Kirby, I am going to out detail you. Ooh. I just looked it up, and Modron is a Welsh word for mortuary.
Oh, that's a long pause.
That's good.
Right.
Mortuary.
One round to Mary. That's now Kirby's turn.
Well, I was relying on the info text.
Ah. Maybe the person who writes the info text is also the person who writes Wikipedia. Looks one quiet. Right, back to the story.
Black Guardian.
You expect to either hear sort of Donna Summer play in the background, you see that sort of light. But anyway, Tegan, sorry, rise rather sheepishly out of the bowels of the TARDIS to whinge a little bit about the previous adventure, which would have been Snake Dance. Just to sort of try and do what they did a lot this year of Doctor Who and link each story together, which I quite liked actually at the time.
Bit of continuity. Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But what gets me is that Big Finish like to insert stories in between these, where if you look at them, there's not a lot of spaces for them to insert their stories into.
What's that?
Somebody knocking on my door. Hold on.
That's a very good sound effect, Mary. I have to sample that one, I think. I love the creak and then the knock. It's usually the knock and then the creak, surely. Is she gone?
Yes, I think so.
All right, I'll have a sip out of me. I'll tell you what, though, right? There's Sarah Sutton, who plays Nyssa, who's got an alarmingly large amount of blusher on her face since her new sort of costume change. What I really did pick up is that something I mentioned a few weeks ago about how rubbish an actress she is. She is abysmal, and even worse in this story.
We lose her next story, so that's all we can hope for is we lose her on Terminus.
Mm. Well, she has improved.
It seems
stories.
Like she's just kind of floating in a haze and not really related to what's going on around her.
Yeah, so poor old Turlough's tucked up in bed, and he finds this sort of looks like a candle without a wick.
It looks like a knob from a sink.
I'm glad you said from a sink, because when he said
a faucet.
A what?
Yeah, you know, a faucet
tap.
Knob.
Tap knob.
Oh, of course it does. Yeah, maybe it was.
It may have been. Yeah. And then he's always holding it that weird way because he's hiding the wire.
Yeah, I know that.
You can often see the wire anyway.
I've seen something about that wire somewhere. I think there's photos, behind-the-scenes photos, where you can actually see the wire. It's a bit pathetic.
Yes, there
I'll tell you what that annoys me about Mark Strickland, although he does play quite a good character in Turlo, is the annoying twitching he does. And he says things like, "Answer me!" and things like that. Very annoying. Turning out that it was quite, for me, I didn't like Turlo at all when he was first in it. I didn't like, probably you weren't supposed to like him, were you? But obviously by the end of his time in the show,
the girls
quite
certainly
like him.
Didn't like him, did they?
Yeah, they were. I think that's what they say, the companions are the audience, aren't they? So they're your representatives in the TARDIS. I think that's how they worked it. But as I said, they did really well with the character of Turlough. In fact, by the time he left, I actually wanted him to stay. Is that the new special effects? I think that is actually, isn't it? The spaceship flying towards the screen. That does look a bit.
No, that was in the original.
It looks very two dimensional, but quite slick. I've gone too far back now. Is it?
Yeah, that's the way it looked. Originally.
Mm. Anyway, Hippo, who I don't know how what character or the age of the character he's supposed to be. He looks about 30.
Yes, yes. 15 going on 30.
Yeah.
He's had his caning, I suspect.
Brigadier's just come to make sure that he's had his caning.
Yeah, I suppose he does play the character quite well, but he unfortunately doesn't look the part. You know what he looks like? He looks like Sean Maguire.
Yes.
Actually, Mary knows who Sean Maguire is, if she remembers EastEnders from the old days.
Ooh, I've seen the ones from the old days, but
He played what was going to be a professional footballer, playing for Wolford Town, and he was taken in by Arthur and Pauline, briefly. And he was in Grange Hill even longer ago when he was a little boy. Anyway.
Now, the headmaster, do you notice that the headmaster is the original Barusa?
Is he? Oh, he is. I didn't notice that, actually.
No, I didn't notice
Angus McKay.
So he didn't regenerate then. He just went to Earth and took up the role of a headmaster for a bit.
The guy who played Ibbot, or what'd they call him?
Hippo.
Hippo. Hmm. He was actually the voice of the djinn, the main character in The Dark Crystal.
Do you know what? I recognised his voice and I couldn't place it.
And he's also been in some Tomorrow People.
Okay.
The original, not the redone one.
I didn't really watch Tomorrow People because I was a proper BBC fan and I really avoided watching all ITV stuff when I was little. I had a boycott of ITV. anything that made me occasionally flick over to Magpie was one of the lady presenters. What was her name now? She's really pretty, she was. But yeah, I was very much, even though if I look back on it, Magpie is probably a better program than Blue Peter, but I was very, very loyal to the BBC. And still am, just
why? What would engender such loyalty to one broadcast company?
Lack of adverts, probably.
Lack of adverts, quality of programming, writing, producing, and the non-commercialism of the BBC, and the fact that it says British Broadcasting Corporation, so you've got the word British in it. It does, when you're quite patriotic like myself, where's the patriotism, independent television? Nah.
What was British, that?
That is my, is it yours or mine?
That wasn't mine.
No, hang on. It's probably a thank you from Bob Hammond saying, thank you for posting the photos of the Cow's Carnival bag. Well, no, it's Amy this. Hi, Adam. I am very sorry at the moment. I have other commitments. Please pencil me in. Blah, blah, blah. It's to do with paying a deposit for a wedding video. She keeps on posting on Facebook. She's paid for this. She's paid for that. And then I notice them. She has to pay me. Not funny. Anyway, right, moving on. All right, so we've got going on. Oh, yeah, so the Doctor, Tissa and Negan end up finding this capsule.
Tissa and Negan, that's good.
finding this capsule thing, which is a transmat capsule. So does Turlough, but in a different time. So Turlough arrives on the ship in 1977.
Now, why did they meet a...
No, 1983.
Whereas the others were
in 1977.
Yes.
Yes, sorry, Kirby.
Kirby, those are my questions. Why did they need it, and how did it get there?
Yeah, the whole trans... Every other time we've seen a transmat, it's been more like a Star Trek transporter.
I think because...
That was BBC on my phone.
Yeah, what I'm getting is that these little these Mordrenites, I don't know what you call them, but they're obviously got some connection with the Time Lords, who like to have little capsules to fly around in, and therefore decided a good way to transmat in their technology would be via a capsule.
Do we actually find out what the name of the people are, the scientists on board? You know, is it the group name of the race?
Spaghetti Heads.
Yes.
Spaghetti Heads is good.
Dolmio Heads, yes. Well, actually, no, it's Napolina.
It made me wonder, though, that device that they needed down on Earth, if they travel around and go near a planet every 70 years or so, are those little gizmos on every planet?
Might be. Well, I haven't found one yet.
No,
but they are disguised. You have to press the base of a statue to reveal them.
Yeah.
That was a slight, pardon me, inconsistency in the storyline, because we didn't see it hidden in any other time, did we?
Uh-uh.
Look what happened there. That was funny.
And even though the obelisk is obviously a permanent thing there, the bench that they sit on is still there. Those other sculptures, like the one with the base that you opened up, was just carted in for the show.
Thank you for that one. I'm waiting for Mary to go. Riveting. That was one of the funniest moments. One of the funniest moments. Well, I spat out my breakfast while listening to that a little bit. Anyway, it can be quite dangerous, Mary. I just warning for listeners. Shut up! You're interrupting. Stop it. What's wrong with you? Shut up!
Sorry.
Should have called him Kane.
What was I talking about?
I can't remember.
What was I on about?
Warning the audience about Mary.
Oh, yes, warning, just don't eat anything while listening to Mary, just in case. Because there's nobody around to give you the Heimlich manoeuvre. Or the Blimovich limitation maneuver. Yes, master.
There's one part where the TARDIS crew runs out of the TARDIS, and I think it's right around the time that Turlough has been hiding behind it, that you can see the black curtain, which is hiding the opening, the open back on the TARDIS, wave a little bit around the edge of the TARDIS. So it's very odd looking.
Okay.
I think we just went through that bit.
Yes. It's criticizing my lovely BBC's special effects team.
Now, here, if I may say something about, you've got this thing about BBC versus ITV,
or
had.
Well, I can win that argument straight away in what's best, but carry on.
Back in those, in the days when I was discovering British television, yeah. it didn't matter to us because it all came through PBS. Yeah. And we'd get ITV stuff and BBC stuff intermixed, and we didn't really note the, at least to me, I didn't notice the difference except a different logo on the front. Yeah. And sometimes, like with a Tim's television thing, there was the cute logo of the reflection of downtown of London. Mm. And but as far as I was concerned, it was British, it was good.
Okay. Well,
but it wasn't ITV back then.
ITV programs are rubbish. And I've admitted it straight away. And I started this particular line of conversation when I said that looking back on it, Magpie was actually better than Blue Peter. I did say this, did I not? I was just saying that that I prefer BBC. But at the moment, the BBC programs are slightly better than ITVs in general. Because they're not sort of trying to be, ITV tend to copy the BBC quite a lot. If the BBC has an entertainment programme out and it's really successful, ITV will try and copy it. I can use an example, Strictly Come Dancing. What do ITV do? I know, we'll bring out Strictly Come Ice Dancing or something similar to it, you know, which is basically a copy of a BBC programme which was called Strictly Come Dancing on Ice. So the ITV just nicked the on ice bit and created Dancing on Ice. Mm-hmm. It's just the sort of thing to do. They tried it with Primeval, failed dismally. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that way because people complain about how rubbish Primeval is. Would have helped if actually worked out that each storyline is exactly the same as the previous week's, but only in a different location. But Doctor Who isn't like that. It's different all the time. Anyway, the Black Guardian is very camp.
He's got a bird on his head.
Yes, he's very camp. And also he's very
Skeksy.
Pantomimey. But,
yeah, oh, that's right. He does look like a Skeksis.
But he's adorable. You can't help but like him, which I don't think is the idea.
It doesn't seem to have much of a hold over Turlough.
Yeah, well, no, it doesn't work, the hold over Turlough, because he keeps on saying, if you don't do this, I will destroy you utterly. And he didn't do it, but he didn't destroy him utterly.
No, not at all. Right. Gave him a chance to negotiate.
Yeah.
But isn't Valentine Dial's, or Dial, however you pronounce it, isn't his voice great?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He's just... fantastic.
Deep thought.
He smoked too much, yes.
Well, in the radio version, in the radio version of Hitchhikers, he was Gargrevar, but he was Deep Thought in the TV version and in the LP version.
I had
and
the LP
also,
version.
Also, I first ran across him back
when. Oh, bloody hell. Did he get arrested for that? And did he survive the accident?
Master?
No.
I first ran across him when I was a teenager and was listening to Goon Shows because he was often a guest voice in the Goon Show, particularly in The Canal, one of the funniest ones.
Is that where he ended up when you ran him over?
Did you even listen to the Goon Show at all?
Oh, yeah, I love the Goon Show.
You do, yes. I would love if I had a chance to listen.
Oh,
to
I never
it.
Did.
In fact, when I was at school, I'm pretty sure they used to repeat it on BBC Radio 2, along with old episodes of the Stepdaughter and Son series and stuff like that.
Maybe Lark and things like that.
BBC Radio 2 used to be really good for between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. They used to have original comedy programs, and they used to play old comedy programs right on the radio. Used to love that. Used to go to sleep on
Mary, the Goon dressing. Show is very much like a. It's an audio version of the later Monty Python. It's just so bizarre, and they go off on weird tangents. It's amazing. It's just so creative. But go out there and find some on YouTube you can listen to. They're just great.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Good. Absolutely
anyway,
fantastic.
Moving on. Yes, Turlough tries to clobber the Doctor over the head with a rock.
Isn't that the closest he ever came to actually killing the Doctor?
Probably. But anyway, he does. fortunately, the thing that he's messing around with does blow up, and the that blows the Doctor onto Turlough and makes him drop the rock. Then what happens? Let's have a look. Nyssa and Tegan are sort of disagreeing over to whether Turlough's trustable or not, really, aren't they? There is a scene where when the Brigadier gets sort of brought in on it, and he sort of says, "Oh well, we have to trust him because we don't know whether we should or not." Was that sort of a logical way of looking at it? I don't think it is. What it actually should be saying is, we have to trust him because the script depicts that we should. So.
But the girls are in 1977 now. It's others are in 1983.
Oh, yes, and the mysterious half sort of ripped off. Why is he half naked, though? That's what I can't, did he have, was there an explosion inside the trash?
Yes, they reference exactly what happened to him.
Okay. Now, this chap,
I don't remember exactly what it is.
The actor who plays Mordrim was in a previous and a future Doctor Who, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was.
He is. Hang on.
He's hang on.
I didn't have it. He was Voris in Revenge of the Cybermen, and he was Pool in Robots of Death.
That was the one I was thinking of. Pool. Now, when they dragged him into the TARDIS, and there was a suggestion of taking him to one of the beds, but apparently, just taking him a little bit further on would be too risky. Simply because they hadn't made up the sets of the bedrooms or anything, and they just wanted to just stick to the TARDIS console room.
Yes.
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 Did you notice anything when they're covering him up? They're using the Fourth Doctor's coat.
Come on, Kirby.
Oh, really?
Everybody
Kirby?
Would.
Oh.
Everybody would
never
notice
guessed.
That. That's why it wasn't really mentioned.
I didn't notice it until watching it this time.
It was so not mentionable that I didn't even include it in any of the questions in the quiz.
Master?
Yes.
Master, I never noticed it until this
time. How could
you
not notice that?
And I've seen this four or five times.
That reiterates my question. How could you not have noticed that?
Yes, Kirby, how could you not?
Yes. I didn't. And for our listeners, in case they hadn't noticed, it's the burgundy coat of the Fourth Doctor.
Yes. The one that you didn't realise was only used in the last series, season, whatever you want to call it.
I'm not against it.
Season.
No.
Yeah. I mean, looking back to the time
easier when seasons.
When I originally watched this when I was quite young, I knew it wasn't the Doctor, and it was really annoying me that they thought it was this one episode.
Tegan's really annoying.
She doesn't believe it. No, Tegan's great.
I knew it wasn't, but Fred was confused by watching it. This was her first time watching it.
Yeah.
And she thought possibly it was.
It did work really well for the story, but I remember being really irritated and no, come on, the Doctor's there. Don't be stupid. Don't think that could be the Doctor. And but I liked Tegan more in this story because she stuck to her guns and, you know, but it really
she sort of went up the hierarchy
run
of
course.
the companions, didn't
yes.
she, in this
oh,
episode?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But obviously naturally so because she was staying on and Nyssa wasn't. But it was done really
had
well.
Had never seen regeneration or anything like that, so.
She had?
She has.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And she
that's
does
right.
say to the Brigadier.
She saw Forth's
and the Doctor nearly
the
died. Yes, that's right.
Now, the person who gets it wrong is the Brigadier says that he's seen he's seen different doctors, but he hasn't seen.
No, what he's talking about, Kirby, he's experienced post-regenerative doctors twice, as in he saw the Third Doctor just after he'd regenerated.
Yes. But he met the Second Doctor. So he's really seen more doctors. He's aware of it.
Yeah, but what he's talking about, he's seen it twice. He's talking about regeneration. So he's talking about it, the Third Doctor
talking
waking
about
up in bed
regeneration.
After
regeneration.
But it does imply that he's seen the actual regeneration, though.
That's
it
what
does,
he's talking about.
Yeah.
And I think,
yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Debbie, don't be siding with him.
Just stirring
mind,
it up a
mind.
Little.
Keeping up with that argument.
Pick your sides.
Yeah, so the Brigadier has forgotten his time with the Doctor, and the Doctor sort of...
No, time of the Doctor was last year.
I'm ignoring him. And the Doctor goes about suggesting things to jog his memory. And we see lovely little flashbacks of things. It was quite nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, the flashbacks are nice, but what... made me wonder is
Doctor.
A lot of those are things that the Brig had not actually seen or experienced.
Like the First Doctor.
He saw the First Doctor.
He saw
the First Doctor and the Three Doctors.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
That clip is from the Three Doctors.
Yes.
Sorry.
The Brigadier was not present for, so it's like...
What is he not
so
present for, Mary?
Thinks he wasn't there. For.
Mary. Which ones was he... We'll go back through them and see if we win this argument. Right then, so I'm going to go back
please,
I
demand
and play
a replay
it.
So
I
we
shall
can do
play
this.
It. And I can talk it through.
And I can tell you where everything's from. The very first
Hang on, shush, right. The first clip is the Brigadier looking around the TARDIS from the three Doctors.
Three Doctors.
Right. And then it's Loda Yeti from the surviving episode at the time of
Web of Fear. Yes.
And then we see the Cyberman from Invasion, which he was in. Right. And then we see the second Doctor from the three Doctors. And then we see the creatures from the three Doctors. Caesar Doom. And we see the third Doctor just after he's regenerated to a certain degree. The first Doctor from the three Doctors.
The Dalek, by the way, was from Day of the Daleks. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And the robot from Robot, of course, a Brigadier story. Then his last story at the time, until then, was Terror of the Zygons. Therefore, all those stories featured. Did they feature Mary?
The Brigadier, but
correct.
Those were shots that he wasn't there to see.
Oh, that's very picky.
Yes. I would like to have seen shots, you know, that he was actually there for.
Oh, okay. You wanted to see him in frame. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they couldn't have done that with Web of Fear, because at the time the episodes didn't exist. So they only had episode one, and Colonel Lethbridge-Stewart doesn't turn up to episode three, which they still don't have. Therefore, episode four would now be the only one they could re-edit that, couldn't they? Actually,
especially the shots of him looking off in the distance. I mean, was he looking at himself or what?
Oh, talking about looking off into the distance later on.
When he's looking around, he had just walked into the TARDIS for the first time, and he was amazed.
Yeah, he was a bit amazed by it. Is that the bit you're talking about, Mary?
Yes.
Well, talking about looking off into the distance, the bit where Nyssa steps out the side of the TARDIS, and then I think she says, "Hurry," looking off into the distance, and the two suddenly appear there, as if, God's sake, who directed this story?
I like the fact that they really hammer home that it's 1977. You've got the bunting, you've got the people wearing t-shirts with 1977 on there.
Every t-shirt, right.
Peter Moffat directed.
Okay, naughty Peter. He did a very bad job with Sarah, probably couldn't work with Sutton. Turlo does a bit more lying in his bed, because what's happened to him now?
He's done State of Decay, Visitation, also Five Doctors, Twin Dilemma, and the Two Doctors.
Twin Dilemma.
So he's done some good and he's done some not so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. There's a lot of out-of-body experiences going on for old Turlo, isn't there? That was quite a good little effect when Turlo sort of gets back to the bed he's already in.
Yes.
I thought that was quite an interesting effect.
He's lots of fades and things.
Yeah, because he put his head down exactly the same position he'd already had his head in. That was really, really well done. Yeah.
I wonder if the Black Guardian goes around occasionally thinking to himself, I have a bird on my head.
I remember watching when I watched this story originally, I just thought the Brigadier didn't look much like the Brigadier because he looks much older. But now looking at him when he's got his hair sort of blackened up like that, he does actually look very much like the Brigadier from his time. But when I was watching it quite young, I thought, what, he looks so much older. But he wasn't that much older. Only about 6-7 years, wasn't it? But there you go. I think they have blackened it. He does look more like his old self in the 1977 version. I quite like the way they did that. They did a very good job with it, making him look 5 years or whatever it is older. So 83 and shut up, Magic.
I think Magic
He's so
agrees.
Argumentative. Anyway, and that also when he Tegan talks to the Brig about the Doctor and stuff, and the Brigadier
is
so pleased that he knows
where
what
the Doctor
she's
is interviewing the Brig on what happened, and then we keep cutting into what was actually happening.
What he's remembering. Yeah, that worked really
That was
really
good
well.
Direction there.
Yes.
And then Turlo escaped again.
Did you notice he escapes from a ground floor window using sheets?
Yes.
Okay. Because the Brigadier's got the homing device, and then they go back to the TARDIS and Mordred.
Doesn't he end up, if you really follow that homing device, doesn't he end up with two of them at the very end of the story?
I don't know.
No, you'd think.
I think so.
I don't know. Anyway. So. We're coming up to the bit when Nyssa comes out. This is the bit when Nyssa's going, look, that bit, watch this. And you can't, it's so rubbish. She's just sort of calling out and they're right next to her.
Hurry up,
man,
I've got to take off.
Yeah, it's terrible. And then, of course, we see Spaghetti Head. And then it's like...
It's very off.
How did he end up with that flavour of pasta sauce? The brain flavour doesn't go with my liking.
It moves, though. It's terrific.
Master?
Yes.
Master? How did Modern end up in his fancy get up as well, the clothes. Yeah, did he go and raid the
artist's
wardrobe?
They were all wearing it. For the same reason that they had the doctor's coat, you know? It's all just right there in the cloakroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a bit silly. They have the very same clothes that all of his compatriots had.
Were they trying to imply that that's actually part of their body? It wasn't actually clothes.
I don't think so.
But it is quite a good. It is so. Quite a good effect. The only thing that's bad about the moving brainy whatever it is spaghetti is the fact that you can see the skull cap on it.
Sometimes
it's very obvious. Yeah. Mm.
Sometimes they cut several scenes where it was really bad, and they redid the appliance.
And also
for modern, but they didn't redo it for everyone else.
No.
That's why everyone else has the little silver band to hide the join.
Yeah. But it's really, really well done. Cause it's, even looking at it now, it's quite yucky and gross.
It's horrible.
It's very, very good. But to have it moving and everything.
But what was the purpose? I mean, he didn't have a head injury when he was, quote, regenerating.
Yeah. It's just supposed to be part of the malformation.
Yeah, but they've all got the same thing. So why did he not have that when they found his body? I suppose they'd automatically know it wasn't the doctor, unless it was the doctor with half his skull missing. I don't know.
Especially like the fully grown out eyebrows that are combed back into the hair.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't noticed them before, to be honest. There's a lovely shot.
You know, but how could you not notice that? If you notice it, no.
Too busy looking at the spaghetti.
There's a shot of the Brigadier standing next to the what do you call that thing? Transmat capsule. And the Doctor and Tola looking at the gadget thing, which is also a photograph of the story. A promo photo, which is of this particular story, was from that scene. It takes a long time that, you know, while watching it, that Nyssa is convinced that Mordrin is the doctor, and then the Brigadier starts believing it. So they end up going back to the ship. Of course, he can't operate the ship. He needs them to operate it, and he lets them believe he's the doctor.
There's a clue right there, although it'll be interesting with Capaldi's doctor, since he doesn't know how to operate the TARDIS. How do we know that he's really the doctor? Anyway.
Because Matt Smith's making a cameo. Oh, that's a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because all the doctors, when they've just regenerated, forget how to use a TARDIS for a little while. If you remember when the 11th Doctor appeared and he said Geronimo after saying, oh, we're crashing.
Oh, yes.
He forgets how to
operate. Crashing.
Yes. There you go. So they can redesign the interior set. Meanwhile, the Doctor and the older Brigadier have arrived on the spaceship, and
Secret entrance with the cunningly crafted flower. That's... I'm going to feel around the door. Poof, there you go.
Yeah. And also, these little faces around this room that reminded me a little bit of the Five Doctors, even though we haven't actually got the Five Doctors yet. The little faces around the
Yes, they did, didn't sarcophagus. They? I wonder if that was a test before doing that.
Maybe they nicked the idea from it, I don't know. I quite like the design of their little thing. It was a little bit similar to that thing from Shada, you know, the little thing, the think tank thing, but the sort of Saturn-y type planet thing in the middle.
Yeah, there was a very Shada-like feeling for this, wasn't there? Mm. I saw this way before I ever saw Shada.
Indeed, me too. There was something odd about the set.
When they were going on about the fact there were others, and he was, Turlo was, others, yeah. Well, going around the huge, massive pillars, I thought maybe they'd be in the pillars. I didn't think they'd be off in another room or something. It just looked...
Those pillars looked a bit like the Master's TARDIS. I mean, at the time, I was thinking, is the Master involved in this? I forgot that.
Master?
But, yeah, Master. The Master. I'm talking about the Master.
No, Master.
Yes.
There's an extra on the DVD of the layout in the studio of how all the sets fit together, which is kind of interesting.
Don't talk about sex on this show. This is a family show. Oh, sets. Oh, sorry. That's just the bridge over the Skype system. Anyway, moving on. We said sex and stick together. I thought I just...
You're distracting yourself now.
So there's a lot of two brigadiers wandering around the ship, and then suddenly the Black Guardian doesn't want the two brigadiers to meet. The Mordrinites don't want the two brigadiers to meet. And nor did the Doctor and anybody else. And it's a really funny bit, I don't think it's in this episode, when Turlo doesn't follow the Doctor's advice and send the Brigadier down to Earth in the capsule, and then gets reprimanded by the Black Guardian for not following the Doctor's advice. And quite rightly, he gets a bit confused by that particular.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I would be too.
Do it.
Imbecile!
We must destroy him, but follow his instructions.
And the other thing the Black Guardian can't make up his mind what to do is how to appear to Turlo, whether to be standing in the room with him, whether to appear on the TARDIS screen, or in within one of the pictures in the actual sort of ship itself. But we get to the point at the end of this episode, don't we, that apparently that he's got to give up all his remaining 8 regenerations. That's convenient for the plot. He happens to have 8 left. To kill them.
Isn't it the first time it's alluded to as well?
And the annoying thing is...
Regenerations.
Yes. No.
Isn't it?
No, no, that was in Deadly Assassin.
Well, how many he had left.
Oh, they had left. Yeah. No, yeah. Because you would have known that when you said in Deadly Assassin. Although you're right to a degree, because in Brain of Morbius it was implied that he's regenerated quite a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then in Deadly Assassin, they turned it on his head and said that there was only 12 regenerations, 13 incarnations. Therefore, he had 8 left. Yeah, floating in.
But what I find amusing is that when he says that he can't do it, and they're all just saying, "Oh, why can't you do it?" Why? And he goes, "Well, don't you understand?" You know, as if they have all the information.
Mm. But he also says,
"Don't you understand? If I do this, you know, I lose all my regeneration."
Yeah, no. He just says, "If I do that, I won't be a Time Lord anymore." But surely, a Time Lord who's on his last life is still a Time Lord. It's just a Time Lord without any regenerations left. Am I not correct?
But I mean, that happens in a lot of stories where people who don't have any information are asking a question, and the hero always has to say, "Don't you understand?"
Yeah, but they always do. The thing I always do in this thing, the Doctor will explain later. They always say that in Doctor. Oh, why am I doing it? The Doctor will explain later, off screen. Yeah. Anyway, so that's basically how it's
going. Because we haven't quite got a reason for it.
Yes.
It's become so common that, like, when I'm watching something else with the girls, something else on TV, and someone says, "I'll explain later," I always turn to one of them and go, "He must be the Doctor."
So, yes.
Floating Morganites.
The Doctor then tries to escape, but unfortunately Nyssa and Tegan are...
That was an interesting word.
Yeah, that was an interesting sound.
That was actually Star snoring. It wasn't Debbie letting rip. It was actually Star snoring. Thanks for that, mate. Yeah. I'm sure she really appreciated it. Anyway, he spat there. No, let's take that frame back then, because I just happened to look at the screen. I'm pretty sure he spits.
Hey.
Watch. He spit! Right, if you want to go to episode 4 of... This is the most interesting thing of the whole episode.
Yes.
About 2.5 minutes into the episode, Turlo and the Black Guardian are having a bit of a conversation in the TARDIS console room.
Tete-a-tete.
And hang on, I've gone past it there. Let's take it back a few frames. It's probably about more like, hang on. But anyway, I'll get the proper time frame. Episode 4. Wait, just wait for the spit. Hang on. Are you trying to find it? Right. Anyway, the Black Guardian is on the screen, and he spits at Turlo, but he can't hit him because he's on the screen. So, it would be funny if he'd gone, ugh, wouldn't it? There he goes. So it's 2 minutes and 23 seconds.
Accidental gobbing, yes, I think.
It's one of those legendary Rassilon spits, but straight at the screen. Anyway, what were you talking about before?
I'm distracted by ginging now.
I didn't see it.
Well, you'll have to watch it very carefully. Episode 4, 2 minutes 23 seconds. We'll just take back to the scene where the Black Guardian's on the screen of the TARDIS console room, and you'll see him spit. Filthy. Filthy habit. It's like footballers do. Maybe he was a footballer when he was younger. Have you noticed that watching football matches? I love football, but whenever they do a close-up of the football, they always spit. Oh, the camera's on me. You know. I think Ben would agree with that if he was here, but he's not. Right, so what's going on here? So they're trying to get the Brigadiers apart. What gets me about the fact that, you know, the Brigadier's touching causes this thing that kills all the... Well, it's a flash of energy, isn't it, that replaces the Doctor's regeneration energy that kills them all. Well, surely if they'd just blown themselves up, Oh, yeah. Well, the Brigadier gets locked in a room. Sorry, Debbie's just pointing at the screen because it's funny. Gets locked in a room and easily finds his way out by unlocking it by pressing something.
He's got special keys. He's got his keys.
Yes, which do nothing.
From his younger days.
Touches the door frame. Turner does some hiding, which he must have been able to be seen from where he is. Because he's looking at them, isn't he? Let's look at it. He's looking at them while they float around the corner.
They actually look like they're wearing miners' helmets in that bit. The skull cap.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So they try going forward in time, and Nyssa and Teton go very ugly. They do need some work at this point. And especially Nyssa when it comes to the acting side of things.
Help me, Doc.
Stop!
So then, he's a bit dithering there, isn't he? He's going, oh, stop. Oh, shit. I'll go and press a couple of buttons.
It's good makeup.
Yeah, it's pretty good makeup.
First time.
Hmm. So they go back and they're back to normal, but they've got a little chair for them all of a sudden. That wasn't there to begin with, was it? So they can sit the two little children on there when they go back. Now, one of the little children is Lucy Benjamin, who was in EastEnders, played Phil Mitchell's Mrs. Do you remember that Phil Mitchell's Mrs.? The one that went a bit loopy, had a baby with?
Yes, I do.
Yes,
no, Lucy, I don't watch it.
Not you, Kirby. One of the little girls. It was the little mini Nyssa. Was Lucy Benjamin, who is actually was his missus in real life for a little period of time as well.
Oh, was it?
One on the left. No, the one on the right, I beg your pardon. That was the Nyssa one, yeah. That was Lucy Benjamin. What happens next? Yes, a big build-up to the two Brigadiers touching. It's been happening. We know it was coming for the whole story, that the Brigadiers were, in fact, going to meet at some point. That was fairly obvious, I seem to remember at the time. Gone all quiet now.
My DVD program failed, so...
Okay, well, don't worry about the DVD program. I'm just telling you that the doctor
gives
in.
Well, I have to see what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? The spit?
He's looking for the spit, yeah.
Just listen and I
am
in.
I suppose I'm going to have to do a freeze frame like he always does and post it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast website.
I'm trying
website.
To do that.
Sorry, Facebook page, which you can join. Listen.
Ooh, it doesn't like that at all.
Oh, what a shame. Right then.
Censored.
It's a funny bit, actually, when Turlo catches up with the Brigadier just as he's about to enter the inner sanctum thing, and really just shoves him out of the way. I just love that bit. It's really funny. I'd love to have done that to Taylor at the time. Actually, this is a bit here. Oh, pardon me. Right, there he goes. There he just shoves
him out of the way. I had the courtesy of turning off my microphone when I did that.
Did you? Well, if I'd taken about half an hour to try and find the relevant button, I probably would have injured myself by regurgitating.
Which we introduced last week for the astounding burp from Kirby, didn't we?
Yeah, you're allowed to keep him in, Mr. Bartlett Sloan. Anyway,
so...
I just muted you, sorry.
Thank you for that. Anyway, so basically it all builds up. The Brigadiers touch each other. Everything is all saved by
They did it at just the right second.
By the explosion. Right. But Mordrin just about survives long enough to... say the fifth doctor's last lines, virtually. This is death. Virtually same line. Foreshadowing.
That's so strange that I switched to a different DVD.
What's that got
program,
to do with, oh, for goodness sake.
And now I can't, if I try and mute the video, it also mutes the, your audio. So then I can't hear you guys anymore.
Well, never mind. Anyway, so the Doctor and Teagan carry the 77 Brigadier out of the tide to just dump him on the ground, and he sort of moves his hands in a very convenient position to cover up.
Yeah, you notice it.
He organises his everything. He does, doesn't he? Put his hands very primly there on this.
And then the other Brigadier's delivered to his time period while Turlo sort of sneaks out the back doors of the interior of the TARDIS, and the smarmy git shakes hands with the Doctor and joins the TARDIS crew. The end.
What about school?
Oh, yeah. Indeed. Right, so that's Mordrin Undead. I suppose I'd better go first.
Is it?
This is actually quite good, actually. There's some really sort of silly and annoying bits about it, but I found it, and I have to go on from my first viewing, because I think that's quite important. I found it quite a gripping story. There are aspects of it that are annoying, like, for instance, like I said, Nyssa, Sarah Sutton, abysmally poor acting-wise. But like I said, I think she was pretty much like that for a whole time on Doctor Who, especially when her father died. You killed my father!
prepare to die.
Yeah. You know, she was pretty poor for her. I mean, I haven't finished that episode yet, thank you very much.
I haven't seen that episode. What episode? So, or story. The one where the master keeper tracking.
No spoilers. Anyway, no, but they criticize.
I know what happened.
Quiet. So they criticize Matthew Waterhouse for being a poor actor, but I think he was much better than Sarah Sutton was while she was in Doctor Who. I do hope she doesn't listen to this show because she'll never come on it. I've listened to that sort of criticism. yeah, so on the whole, it's actually quite good. It's a bit slightly melodramatic in some ways. Turlough, you're not supposed to like him, so he does a really good job of being a character that you're not supposed to like. And the only thing about the character I didn't like throughout his whole run was his silly twitch that he had, but I suppose he couldn't help that. It was obviously some sort of Tourette's thing. Whenever he was slightly stressed out, his little jaw would twitch and his head would twitch to one side, and he was always... Remember the what was the one with the tractators in it? One of his last stories. But he got taken over and he dribbled. And he was supposed to, it was a good bit of acting actually, but it was quite gross. He was sort of, drool came out of his mouth. Frontiers, that's the story. Anyway, on the whole, it's actually quite good, Mordred and Undead. I mean, it's a trilogy, isn't it? It's Mordred and Undead, Terminus, and Enlightenment. I think this is actually the best of the three.
Yes, I agree.
And that's all I'm going to say on the score. Who should we go for next? We usually save Mary to last because it's usually quite amusing. So, Debbie.
I definitely enjoyed this one. I was talking to Mary before about the fact that I remember this from first time round. I can remember Turlough. I remember the really
weird... She watched Doctor Who when she was three.
I can remember the weird tap top or faucet top. And I can vaguely remember the ship that they were on, but I don't remember
the ship.
But I can't remember the spaghetti head thing. I think I would have probably been behind the sofa for a week after that if I
remember
that.
You can't remember, it's quite astounding. It's
like I can remember the Daleks, but no, I think my dad probably put his hand over my eyes or something. Right. But I love this story. I love the way it really did sort of keep you watching. It wasn't one of those where you sort of sit back and go, oh, come on, action, a bit more, please. I found the whole discussing the regeneration, the fact that Tegan and Nyssa, when they age and when they go back to being children, I thought that was a really good sort of example of what the TARDIS can or can't do. Mm-hmm. And the fact that for once the Doctor was stumped about it briefly, and then obviously solved the issue, you know, it was all done. But I'm sure Kirby will say anything with the Brigadier in is pretty good.
Yeah.
So yeah, on the whole, absolutely loved it.
It's funny you should say about the bit where they took them back to kids. Mm. I seem to remember at the time that being a longer bit. It was very short that those two little girls were in that scene. Kirby.
Master?
Yes, you.
Oh, I like this story. I do agree with you. This is the best of the three Turlough Black Guardian stories. I did not see it until I got the DVDs. About 4 or 5 years ago, or whenever the DVD came out, I got it immediately because I wanted to see this. So, it's got some slow spots. I was particularly annoyed by the Doctor or the Brigadier always telling the two girls, wait here.
Mm.
I think they did that many, many times. I need to put together a list of whenever they do that. It's good. And it's because Valentine Dial is one of my favorites from the Goon Show that it has a special place in my heart for that. So that's
very
it.
Distinctive voice, isn't it?
And here we go. It's Mary Lang.
She hates it.
Actually, I did not hate it. When I started watching Classic Who and I didn't know where to begin.
Like my generation, you won't get forward.
You just
again,
start
you,
at the beginning,
stuff.
which I tried to, and I found it very tedious. I thought, okay, the next best thing for me is jump out all the interesting titles and just go watch those. Of course, Modern Undead popped right out there as an interesting title. So I've seen this some time ago, and this is actually my third time around, and I found it, as Debbie did, you know, very engaging all the time. Not wondering, okay, you know, what's going to happen next? This is kind of boring. Some real interesting directions that we've mentioned, while the Brigadier is being interviewed by the doctor, we also then cut over to the scenes of Tegan with the Brigadier, and that was really nicely done. But from the first time that I watched it, there were just so many questions that even watching this the third time, I still don't have answers to my questions. You know, one of them Kirby brought up, you know, how did that creature, the mutant on the TARDIS, suddenly come up with the dress? You know, that couldn't have been in the wardrobe on the TARDIS.
Pretty much why I chose my quote at the beginning, because it was just so many questions raised.
I think that must be their nude body, to be honest with you. I can't think of that's any other way they can explain it, because they couldn't have got a costume.
But when they come down the stairs, you can see their legs.
Yeah, but a lot of Doctor Who costumes that were supposed to be the naked bodies of the aliens that looked like zip-in suits and onesies. Oh, talking of onesies. You know, it's the costumes looked at the time.
Yeah, and that was another kind of issue for me, is if these creatures are so deformed and decaying, how is it then when they get to move around, all of a sudden they're up and floating and looking, you know, normal, energetic, and not a bit defective in any way. Mm. And I got a kick out of when they would go up or down stairs, of course, you know, they couldn't exactly float. There was some pretty heavy up and down stair movement there, you know, for creatures that float.
Yeah, that's quite funny.
Another question that occurred to me was, if Tegan and Nyssa are stuck in that time, and the TARDIS can't go forward or backward in time without aging or de-aging them, why doesn't he drop them off in that time and go off and find a solution to the problem and then come back and get them?
That's a very good question.
And another thing is, if the mutants are going to die, there's plenty of other ways for them to destroy themselves and die without needing,
Time Lord. They could have just blown up the ship.
They could have transmitted into the sun, and burnt it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's so many things they could have done. They didn't need to take a Time Lord with them.
Yeah, they weren't quite Captain Jack, were they? They were, obviously were destructible.
So I enjoyed it. Oh, and the set for the interior of the ship, I thought Kirby would jump in there and tell us that that's not really a set, that really is a location somewhere. Because it's pretty elaborate. It's all marble and gold and pretty pretty gorgeous. But that's it. You know, just lots and lots of unanswered questions, even though I enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, what got me, you talked about the other characters, you know, sort of floating around in their series. Mordrin.
Yeah.
I keep on watching that within series. The Deadlights, what's it called again?
Manning?
That's the one. Mordrin, he doesn't float around like his companions do.
No, he doesn't. I noticed that Tegan is still in the same outfit from Snake Dance.
Boob tube,
Nyssa seems to change outfits with every story.
Apparently that boob tube was yanked down by Peter Davis and he didn't get charged with sexual harassment, which is quite surprising if that happened nowadays. And you would probably get charged for something like that.
Slap
and you wouldn't end
face
up looking like Dave Lee Travis does at the moment. You know, probably something Dave Lee Travis has tried and now he's been, being done for. Anyway, moving on. That's it. That was Mordrin Undead. I think it's time we went into the feedback area of the show.
Creaky chair.
Creaky chair. And this is the first bit of feedback we have. And it takes a bit of time before it starts.
How are you doing, everybody? This is Billy Kirkbright in Australia with just a few thoughts on that.
He's
great
from Australia,
story,
really?
Been undead. Okay. By the time season 20 had come along in 1983, my interest in Doctor Who had waned somewhat. I think the main reason was because I'd grown to love 9 years earlier, in 1983, it seemed so far removed from that, I guess for a couple of reasons. One of them was that UNIT had gone pretty much. And I was still getting used to Peter Davison as the Doctor. And I thought he was a great Doctor, but it just took me some getting used to. To me, he was still the Vet, okay? needless to say,
that's
true. What for me in this story was the heavy continuity aspect. Of course, seeing the Brigadier again was a massive draw card, as was the flashbacks to earlier episodes, in episode 2 of his story, and the mention of early companions. What a fantastic nostalgic moment in Doctor Who that was. I just loved it. And again, more continuity aspect with the Doctor referring to his 8 coming generations later in the story. Of course, signifying that there was earlier regenerations. Okay. I just love it when the show acknowledges its past. And in light of this, this story really rekindled my interest in Doctor Who massively. The story itself I thought was good, keeping up with the suspense right from the get-go. I thought it was a fantastic subplot with the introduction of the new companion Turlo and the secret mission to kill the Doctor. That really added to the excitement of this story, I thought. And also the TARDIS being lost in 1977, which I think from memory was the Queen's Silver Jubilee, which was a year before I moved to Australia.
That's why those banners are up.
Doesn't time fly? Anyway, great story. I appreciated the design of the Starliner as well, very plush, and reminded me of the ship in Voyage of the Damned, incidentally. I weren't too chuffed with the humanoid mutants, of course, being Merdwin and his cohorts. It actually put me off eating spaghetti bolognese for life. But anyway, all that aside, it was a great story. Well done, Mr. Grimwade. How do you pronounce his name? Is it Grimwade or Grimwade?
Well, most of
anyway,
the direction was okay. To the right, it's just Nyssa.
Great job. Take care.
I'd say it's Grimwade.
Never mind, it was Billy Kirkbright. Thank you, Billy. Hey, it does bring
thank
up.
Thank you, Billy.
It does talk about the flashback sequence. Well, I forgot to mention, I love the part of that sequence where the Doctor would say a name and you hear a sort of whispering of the name. And
yes.
So do you remember Joe Grant? Joe Grant. I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah, that was well done. Whisper. Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Kirby, you were going to say something.
I said it. Yeah. I don't remember.
Oh, good, nor do I. Right, let's move on to the next bit.
Have a cat.
Be quiet.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes, and then here it's 5 to 7 on Saturday night evening.
Sunny
day. Neighbours having a barbecue. We're going to pop next door. It's my lad's birthday shortly, so we're going to have some fireworks as well. So, should be a thoroughly pleasant evening.
Oh, yeah,
anyway, just sat down and finished watching Morgan and Dan. I've got a glass of South African Sauvignon Blanc.
Didn't take him long. Back on, did it?
Because, as I said, I do the wine, if you don't mind. Yeah. Hey, Morgan and Dan. Hang on a minute. I'm just going to shut the window. It's got smoke coming in. Bear me too. Oh, that's better now.
Barbecue smoke coming in.
Right, now, does Mark Strickson actually have the most irritating and annoying voice you've ever heard on Doctor Who? I mean, he really is. To me, you know, I could chiefly punch you with that voice. He's a good actor, yeah. But... you got the most nasal, whining voice you've ever heard. You know, Well, perhaps he put his arm because that's, you know, to make the character much more obnoxious. Because he really is quite an obnoxious character, really, isn't he? You know, at least early doors. Which begs the question, why on earth is a TARDIS crew, or at least a Doctor, trust him so implicitly, you know?
Yeah.
He comes in his transmat, you know, as all they know, he's just somebody just wandered in off the street, and yet he seems to know a hell of a lot, and no one actually questions him. You know, when the Doctor's trying to get the homing beacon working, and Turlo asks some technical questions, you know, so, hang on a minute, you're an 18-year-old schoolboy, you shouldn't know things like this. So, it's a bit of a plot hole there, I think, methinks, but,
Anyway, I think the Doctor knows more than he's letting on.
Yeah. And a late uncle died a couple of years ago. He was a winker in the RAF, and when I was growing up, you know, early 70s, he actually bears more than a passing resemblance to Brig. So, to me, the two were always the same person, always connected, so, I always got a great, that avuncular feeling that, actually, the older Brigadier did actually have, I mean, certainly at the end when he's, got over, you know, what happened to him. It was very interesting to see, you know, you got the warm, friendly Brigadier that sometimes came out in the Pertwee years. The early Brigadier, of course, was really strictly military man, very gung-ho, and it's interesting when you look at the quarters of the two of them, how much smarter the first one was. But I thought it was delightful to have the two Briggs in there, and the reaction of the older Brigadier seeing his younger self remembering it, and then finally remembering what had happened, so that when he did come into the TARDIS for his final scene, he said, I haven't felt this good for, at least 6 years. You could understand why, couldn't you? Now, what was the fascination of having birds on people's heads? And we've got the black garb and what on earth did Morgan have his hurly doors? You know, he looked like a brain on his head to start halfway through, but at the beginning he looked like a blooming bird on his head as well. And it just Yeah, fascinating that was. Now, there's some wonderful moments. There's when they Tegan and Nyssa bring the Morgan into the TARDIS, they say, well, should we get into bed? Oh, no, no, you're too safe. Hang on a minute, you've just dragged him by his arms across a field and into the TARDIS. Yeah, I think you've probably done enough damage there, so lifting onto bed probably is going to do very little damage.
I might have made that point myself.
Story itself, and it was a good story. It was interesting because it was sort of like a moral dilemma that here were a group of people, you know, seeking an ending. You hear about people who, you know, live into the 90s and, you know, every day is a burden. You know, I actually lost my last uncle a couple of weeks ago, and he was 90. He was 100 when he died, just past 100. But apparently, the last 18 months of his life really were just existence. You know, I think that what this shows here is, you know, life is not just living. Life actually means living a life that has value and worth to it. And what Mordrin and his friends were going through was just not that it. That's why they sought death. They sought release to what would end this torment. Yeah. There was a. I think there's a parable somewhere about, you know, immortality actually is a curse because it's just endless weariness, isn't it? So I think that's a very interesting way where the story put that in, you know. Is immortality really a gift or not? Is it really just a curse? Doctor himself, well, you can show himself very, very vulnerable at times, you know, when Nyssa and Tegan were being made old and then young again. You saw his vulnerability, that he knew he had to do this, yet it would cost him his own regenerations. And of course, you have here a reinforcement of the, you can only regenerate 12 times, that comes from earlier, because he only has 8 left, so it's 8 people, 8 of them. What I didn't understand, though, is why when the Mordrin and his friends were all strapped into machines, why weren't this a Tegan doctor in there as well? Because surely, if they're going to be taking things out of him, am I missing something? You know, just wonder. Didn't seem to be quite there. Anyway, the...
Didn't have enough.
Transmat capsule, and then how the brig managed to get out of it so easily. You know, yes. He gets his keys out, his car keys, and managed to get it with panel and find the switch to get out as well. It seemed a bit simplistic, really, didn't it? However, all in all, I think this was a very good story. This is one of the best of the Fifth Doctor. Because you had that moral dilemma I've talked about earlier. It also, you know, reintroducing a very much a favoured character in the brig. And of course, you saw a little bit of him later on. And we saw him, you know, you've heard him in the Big Finish audios as well. So it's a good way to reintroduce, you know, a very much a favoured character. I told you, I would call him a companion. You know, he was a recurring character, and I think he really was. You know, the Doctor's... Sometimes he was the Doctor's conscience. Other times, the Doctor was his conscience. You think about what's happened when the Silurians, when he destroyed them. But you think here, he actually makes the Doctor face the reality of what would happen to Nyssa and Tegan if they didn't. So, all in all, very good story. Some good music. I think the music they used. Black Guardian, some special effects. Okay, so, you know, we are talking late 70s, early 80s when they made this. So, the effects weren't that good when we had the Guardians talking to Turlough. The bit where he's the headmaster and then turns into the Black Guardian, I thought that was pretty effective. The one that wasn't was when he was the picture talking to him. Not so good. But you can see the dilemma that Turlough's in as well. And how he's, you know, where is he going to go with this? So, yeah, very, very good story. Anyway, that's it. It's 6 o'clock now.
It's 7 o'clock now. No, it's 25 past nine.
And, of course, Birmingham.
No, it's 25 past four.
So, yeah, we're going to have a shower, put some clothes on, and pop next door for barbecue. Anyway, be seeing you.
It's Andy Nunny without the lovely Dawn. Thank you, Andy. And W. Strauss trying to get the visual image of him getting in the shower out of her mind.
Andy's feedback is getting more and more... informed, you know. It's less about the weather and the wine and more
about the
show.
Not too sure about that. There was plenty of weather and wine in that particular segment. Anyway, right, moving on. One more piece of feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Hello, Ian. Next week?
Hello.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a minority by the toe. Oops! Jeremy Clarkson got into trouble for saying something like that. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. I think you can expect 10% of listeners to join the Facebook page and 1% of listeners to send in feedback.
Yeah.
Even then, they might be complaining about Ben Shoveler. Or me.
Who's complaining about him?
If he hollers, let him go. That ought to do it. Mortal Undead by Peter Grimwade. Valentine Dale plays the Black Guardian. He was a famous horror actor and was known as the Man in Black. That might be why he got the part. I was building a bit of electronics while I was watching this, and it was not going well. I eventually found that the socket I used for the integrated circuit chip was not an IC socket at all, and was not making proper contact. I meant to re-watch the episodes, but I never got around to it. Hippo was a bit miscast. They said how fat he was, but he wasn't. It reminded me of a film with Anne Hathaway, where her character was working with some fashion models, and she was called the Fat Girl. Brigadier, do you remember Joe Grant? My assistant, Joe Grant. She often used to have her underwear showing. Oh, yes. Of course I remember Miss Grant. Bye for now.
Thank you.
And there, thank you.
And there was that time that she had all of her showing next to a Dalek.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I've seen that. And yeah. I never want to see it again. There's certainly somewhere for you to hang your coat in that image. Well, I think it's time we welcome new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. And somebody's going to help me with this, aren't they, if I remember rightly? Or not.
I'm bringing the list up.
You're bringing it up. Okay, well, you bring the list up.
Join date. Let's see.
Wait. Ian sent in the list of who we welcomed last time.
I only see one name.
Yeah, I don't think we have anybody joining.
Anyone,
oh, no, I added Alicia Lynn Huey, and she hasn't left yet, so I think I've done really well with picking her. So, Alicia Lynn Huey, who isn't listening, thank you for joining the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group via me.
Yeah, she's another of the
I know! Huey's. That's why I added her. Yes, silly man.
Okay.
Oh, I suppose.
Oh, you added her without her requesting it?
Yes, I did. I'm very lovely. I think it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. My Easter egg.
I had assumed that we were going to have Mr. I'll beat the rest of you with all of my trivia and knowledge of the story.
He doesn't like
and
Debbie.
He seems to be gone. I have texted him about 5 times and I called him once. Nothing.
Oh dear.
That's me.
Not very nice, is it?
Wait. I just got a text.
Oh, God.
Hang on. Oh, from Matthew Kressel.
Oh, good grief.
Hang on.
Yeah, go on then.
It says, one day I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back. Here, let me tell him that we're about to do the quiz.
He's going to say, I haven't watched it.
No answer back from...
No, I just texted him saying, well, you heard what I asked him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, therefore... Let's get on then.
Right.
Get on with it.
Debbie's just looking over my shoulder.
No, I have not been looking.
Wait. I just got a text.
Yeah, what? He said, bugger off.
He says, nah, I'll give someone else a chance to win one last time. I'll endeavor to be back next week, finally.
Yeah, right. That'll be on a Monday. Right?
Yeah, right.
Right then. So, first question goes to Debbie.
Oh, no.
Can't speak. She should know this because she was looking over my shoulder.
I was not.
Now, the Brigadier's car was a Humber 1650 open tourer of what year of manufacturer?
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. I don't remember.
You spring that on a woman?
Yes, for God's sake.
1946
Nothing. Nowhere near it. Anybody?
I know. I said I know.
Go on then.
1929.
Correct. Now, the original question, this was the original question before I changed it. What was... The Brigadier's car. That was the original question.
I would have got the Humber bit.
You asked that of a woman?
That's very stereotyping, whatever you call it.
I think my husband, if he's listening to this, will be shaking his head in disbelief that I got that wrong.
Okay, right. Next question goes to Mary.
Stereotypical for a reason.
Mary, how many years of soldiering had the Brigadier done?
Oh, 30.
No, just 30. Yes. I'll give you a point, 2 points for 30, but it wasn't 30-30 now. Kirby.
Master.
What was Tegan worried about at the beginning of the story?
Whether or not the Mara was gone.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
What was the initial TARDIS malfunction? What was its initial malfunction at the beginning? You won't get this one.
No, you're right. I can't remember, I'm afraid.
That's a shame. Anybody?
Something to do with a warp. I don't know, a warp something.
A warp something. I suppose that's worth
Captain,
it.
Captain, the warp engines are failing.
No, I'll give Mary a point, even though it's very scratchable. The actual answer was warp ellipse cutout. Right, Mary.
Oh. Well, she got it part way.
I still have given her a point.
I got a point. What a point.
I've given her a point. Words.
Yeah. I just remember a warp, but I didn't remember the
right,
rest.
Mary, who is Turlough's doctor?
Turlough's doctor?
Yes.
Oh, totally.
Debbie
Schwartz,
you might try and have a peek. Yeah, go on, Kirby.
Dr. Runciman, of course. Yeah, played by Roger Hammond.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What is Hippo's real name?
It's not on there, anyway.
I know.
It's Ibbotson. Yeah, I don't remember what his first name is.
That's what I'm looking
never
for.
They don't ever do that. The first name, they'll call it always by the last name.
Debbie.
Okay.
Who did the headmaster say was a very strange man?
Doctor?
No.
No, Brigadier?
No. It would have been probably right. Anybody?
Strange man.
It's all gone quiet over there. It's like being at Pompey Ground.
I remember him saying
The solicitor.
Oh.
The solicitor he dealt with for Turno.
Eventually.
There you go.
It comes back.
Master?
Yes.
We find the name of the school. They never named the school in this story, but we find out the name in Planet of Fire. Mm. When we also discover that solicitor happened to be from Tryon and was paying for the school and everything.
Which is, I like that. I like the fact that he did actually tie those little loose ends up. Yes. The actual answer was the solicitor that dealt with Turlough's parents' affair. Right. So next question goes to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What sea ships did Tegan compare the spaceship to? Get a point for each.
What, sea ships?
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh dear, anybody?
No.
Oh. No.
Okay, it was Queen Mary and Mary Celeste. Right, Kirby.
Oh, yes.
Master?
How many years had the ship been in orbit?
3,000 years.
Correct. So, after a few questions, the current scores are in last place with 2 points, Debbie. Mm-hmm. In second place with 3 points, Mary, and in the lead with 8 points, the other chap. Right, next question goes to Debbie.
Well, I turn all of my points over to Matthew.
Yeah. Right, Debbie, how did Turlough deactivate the camouflage of the Transmat capsule?
Wasn't there some sort of button underneath the statue next to the...
Yes, okay. The answer I've got written down is by pressing the base of the urn statue.
Earned it.
Very good. What did the doctor say when he first sees Turlough?
I don't know.
Hello?
No, I don't say that either. Anybody?
Hello?
Who are you?
Correct.
That was my quote, and everyone's going, is that your quote?
All right, Kirby.
Master?
Where did Tegan first wander into the TARDIS?
Oh.
On that bypass, you've
yes,
got to build
it's got a name.
I don't remember the exact name.
Debbie knows.
Barnett.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
How did Tegan describe travelling via Transmat?
Is it zap?
No. Anybody? Anybody?
Oh, I know.
Go on then, Mary.
Bing,
Something about being in a food mixer, that she's afraid you're going to come out pureed.
That's it, yes.
Right, Mary.
Yeah.
Why did Tegan rebuff Nyssa's idea of putting Mordrin to bed?
Putting him to bed. I don't remember why.
Mm-hmm. No, go on then, Debbie.
Was it because they'd already done too much? You know, they did it, took him to bed, and it'd be more injuries. Too risky.
Oh. Yeah, but they'd already dragged it.
I'm glad that I was the first person to make that point. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What did Mordrin keep saying while lying on the floor of the TARDIS?
I don't remember what he said.
Anybody?
Mm-mm.
Stability not achieved.
Ooh.
Yes, right, Debbie. Mm-hmm. What does Tegan take with her when she goes to find medical help?
The homing device.
Correct. Mary.
Yes.
What year did the Brigadier officially leave the army, according to this story?
I think it's 1976.
Nope. Anybody?
79.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
What suggestion of the Doctor's helped the Brigadier remember?
I don't remember anything specifically.
Okay. I think Debbie knows.
Is it Tegan?
Nope. Oh dear.
Oh dear.
No. It was the Yeti and the phrase Colonel Lethbridge Stewart. So you would have got a point for either of those.
Oh.
Yes. Pardon me. All right. Who's going to do that? So it's Debbie's going.
Okay.
Yes. What word did the Doctor say that angered the Brigadier? He went into a bit of a rage.
I remember. Yeah.
Kirby remembers.
No, I don't know.
Go on, Kirby.
He was upset at being offered treatment.
Correct. That's the word.
So,
Mary.
That was several words. I assume treatment.
Yeah.
Be quite right. What did the Brigadier teach at the school?
I know he was a math teacher.
That'll do. That's the answer. Well done.
Okay, all right.
But actually, I should dock a point because it's mathematics and you said math. Because it's a longer word than that, isn't it, Debbie? It's mathematics.
I'm trying to say it the way you guys understand it.
Crossing the pond.
don't you add an extraneous S and call it maths?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
No, it's not extraneous because it's part abbreviation of the word mathematics. Anyway, moving on.
English has no logic.
You lop off the E-M-A-T-I-C-S, and it's just math.
Shall I mention the word aluminium? That's just spelled how it says. Anyway, moving on. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What did the Doctor think he had miscalculated that led to the TARDIS materialising in 1977?
I don't remember, sorry.
Didn't get that one then, did you? Anybody?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
The offset. Therefore, the current scores are in last place with 6 points, it's Mary. In second place, Ploice. I keep saying that, isn't it?
Ploice. Ploice.
Ploice.
Ploice.
Ploice.
Ploice.
Ploice.
Ploice.
Ploice. Place.
We'll get that in the dictionary. Yes. Right.
With 8 points, it's Demi. And in the lead with 11 badly earned points, is Kirby. Right. Right, Debbie.
Uh-huh.
What is a bun fight?
Bun fight is an argument, isn't it? I don't know, because bun fight's used for explaining a lot of things.
But in this story.
In this story.
They said, we're off for a bun fight.
Off for a bun fight.
Mm.
Yes, they do. No, I can't remember.
When they said that, I just kind of ignored
it.
Yeah,
I didn't know what it meant.
It was a celebration. They were celebrating the Queen's Silver Jubilee. Sorry, that's what I said. According to this story, that's what it was. So I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Mary.
Yeah.
Mordrin, be quiet. Mordrin said that the transmat induced a what in him? She'll never get this one. Quite proud of this question.
You're right, I won't.
Anybody? I'm doing really well this week. I should give myself
what
points.
Was the question? I was looking at Bun Fight.
Mordrin said, well, the fact you're doing that, you're now knocked your bandwidth down. Your audio is going a bit weird, so I wouldn't bother. Mordrin said that the transmat induced a what in him?
Instability.
Nope.
Imbalance?
Nope. It was mutated catalysis.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, she should have got that one right. Debbie.
Yes.
How would Tegan sum up the Blimovich limitation effect?
Zap. Yeah. Wait, wait, say that.
Yeah. What's up? So, please don't trip over my tripod, Alicia, when we go through. Did she get that? She's carrying a bag. That's going to... Please don't knock over that because it's a rather expensive piece of equipment on the top
of it. I just watched a 10-hour show with no break.
Pizza! Well,
that's illegal. You're a teenager. You're under 18. You should get at least half an hour break for every...
It's illegal, isn't it?
It is illegal. I have words with Richard about that. Master. Yes.
Bun Fight, now. Oh,
for God's sake.
UK, a formal but friendly tea party held by an organization either annually or to mark some occasion.
So it's
not specifically the Jubilee. It was they were celebrating. Yes,
but I put the Queen's Jubilee because if one of you had said, oh, they were celebrating the Queen's Jubilee, I would have given you some points for it because I was being nice. But I'm not going to do that again. Right, whose question is it?
I think I've been dramatically misled.
Oh, yes, it must therefore be. That was your question, wasn't it, Debbie? So, because we were celebrating the word zap. So this is therefore Mary's question. Mary, what is the name of the machine that the Doctor and Brigadier discover on the ship?
Okay. I heard that.
I give her a point. She gets one of the words.
Is that that warp ellipse thing?
No, it isn't. No. Anybody?
I have no idea.
Good. Anybody?
No.
Metamorphic symbiosis regenerator. So you could have said regenerator. That would have given you a point for that one. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Right. Your question is this. How many creatures does the Brigadier think must be on the ship?
I don't remember him even saying
that. You really
that.
Should pay attention to these stories.
Me neither.
I have to. Anybody? That's you could even have a guess. Oh. You've gone very quiet again.
Eight.
Yes! I'll do nicely. Right then. Debbie.
Yes.
What did Mordrin bring to his crewmates? In their sort of very poetic way. That's what they think they arrive.
A plate of spaghetti.
Oh, don't. That's horrible.
Head of spaghetti, at least. Yes. What did he bring, according to them, when he arrived back on the ship?
A Time Lord.
Nope. Anybody?
Hope?
Nope. Only one guess.
Sorry.
And Robert back, isn't it? Right, nobody knows. The answer is Hope of Their Ending. Did you say
Hope? I said Hope second, but you said I couldn't get a second guess.
Sorry. I give a point for Hope. That's quite good.
Thank you.
Whose go is it now? I've lost it.
Mary's
go. Was that your go then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've lost where I was now. Zap, symbiosis, regenerator. Oh, H, right. Right then. So therefore, this is Mary's question.
Yes.
Shut up, Magic. In the Doctor's own words, why can't they help Mordrin? Shut up, Magic.
That makes sense.
I think he wants to get out there.
They can't help Mordrin?
Yeah.
Because it would mean that would be the end of him as a Time Lord.
Yes! Yeah. Kirby.
Master?
Where would the transmat homing device... transmat to, according to the Doctor, in a conversation with Turlough?
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Year or a place?
Place, where it says, where would the transmat homing device transmat to, according to the Doctor, in a conversation?
Earth.
No. Maybe?
It's in the middle of the TARDIS.
Correct. Centre of the TARDIS,
really, of the TARDIS,
I'll give you.
Yeah.
It's a similar sort of word. Right, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
How did the 1977 Brigadier, do you mind, escape
just arrived.
From the room Turlough was imprisoned in him. Right, because I'll say that question again.
Please,
how did the 1977 Brigadier escape the room that Turlough imprisoned him in?
Used his keys?
Nope. Anybody?
Did he press that flower button?
Yep, that's the one. Right, Mary.
Yes.
After Nyssa and Tegan have returned to normal, what does the Doctor try next?
Oh, is that reversing the polarity of the neutron flow?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Reversing the polarity of the neutron flow.
Brilliant.
Kirby.
Master.
What does the 1977 Brigadier take out of the transmat capsule?
The R?
No, there was probably the S or the T.
The TARDIS... the homing device.
Eventually we get it. Yes, that's the correct answer. Right. Current scores are, with not very many questions left, in the last
see, that's
place...
That's why I think he's got...
interrupting my scores. In the last place, with 11 points, it's Mary. And in joint first place, with 13 points each, it's Debbie and Kirby.
Ooh,
so now Kirby, Kirby can close down his Wikipedia page. We'll carry on with the quiz. Right.
Yeah, you can Debbie. Tell he's reading notes have... or something.
Notes, yes. Wikipedia, no.
Okay, right, Debbie.
Yes.
What does the Brigadier say... just as they touch each other? I should actually say, what do the Brigadiers say just as they... Oh,
no, you.
No, one of them
it's
says.
It's you or something like that.
No, it isn't. It's no. Not that. Anybody?
No.
Okay, you didn't get that one. It's I remember. Mary.
I remember.
Mary.
I remember that.
What were Maud, shut up. What were Maudrin's last words, Mary?
Maudrin's last words?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh.
Oh,
that wasn't it.
Yeah. Oh, as he dies. He says, is it thank you?
No.
Is it?
No. Go on, Debbie.
Sorry, I thought Mary was still guessing, sorry.
No.
This is death.
Yeah, well, that was near enough.
Is this death?
Yes, that's near enough. Right there, Kirby.
Master.
What was the Brigadier's last words of the story?
I don't remember.
No, you didn't say that. Oh, sorry, anybody?
Mm-mm.
Oh, dear. His last words were, where's Turlough? Right?
Okay.
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 Right. Last question.
Whatever you say.
Last question is a free-for-all and could decide the whole quiz. And it's this. First person to answer. Who wrote Maudrin Undead?
Oh, God.
No, it wasn't him.
Peter Grimwade?
It's Peter Grimwade. Yay. So, the scores, therefore, this week, so you won't get this one. In last place, in fact, joint last place, Mary and Kirby. And the winner this week... they got 13 points. The winner this week, 14 points, is Debbie.
Yay!
Yay.
You didn't need to look at your iPad.
No, I didn't.
Isn't this your first time winning?
It is, yes.
Keeping that,
yeah.
Voice written on it as well. Right, so I think it's time we had a look at news. Hang on, I can hear funny things going on in the other room. Is it teenagers having very loud conversations on the phone? Is it out there?
No, it's outside, yeah. It's out the front.
It sounds out there. Huh. Hang on. It's out there. Alicia's having a loud conversation on the phone, which won't be appreciated by she who must be obeyed. Right, news, yeah, sorry. Right, let's see what we got, because there's certain things... last week didn't have much news. This week I think we've got a bit more than we had last week. But where do we get up to? I can't shut up to her. That's a trouble. We'll wake her up if she's not already awake. Right, I think we did that bit. 50 years of Doctor Who comics, we did that bit. Telos Publishing revamps website and offers discount. Telos
I think we did that one, yes.
Yeah, if you say so. Must have done
there
that one. They haven't done that. Yeah, the BAFTA Craft Awards. They won some awards for Day of the Doctor, special visual and graphic effects, and an adventure in space and time, also won makeup and hair design. Doctor at the Proms in 2013 had been nominated for Entertainment Craft Team and lost out to Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway, which is a very good programme.
I know, but
I won't talk much more about that. DWM, that's Doctor Who magazine, remembers the Seventh Doctor's era. Now, Matthew would be particularly interested in this issue.
I remember the Seventh Doctor's era.
Issue 473, Kirby, so you might want to buy that, read it, and then give it to Matthew. Okay.
He probably has a subscription.
Silver Screen 50th Anniversary Collection Comparison. Silver Screen are currently accepting pre-orders for their limited edition 50th Anniversary Slightly Late Collection, mm-hmm. which features music from each of the 11 Doctor eras and series over the first 50 years on television. Well, if you like that sort of thing.
I would.
Would you? 50 years in time and space. Now, you said it's supposed to be space and time, but it's a book.
No. The space and time business is when you're referring to
the drama.
Adventures in Space and Time is the name of the film drama that we got last year.
That's what I just said. But I love winding up. It's like dropping a coin in a flat pond, isn't it? It just ripples away and you get this load of words coming out. So quite this works the same with her if you start saying certain things. Winds her up. Deb, actually. No, I'm not going to do any work around my house. That does the job. Not you, by the way. Her upset. I hope she didn't hear that. I'll be listening, actually. The 50 Years in Time and Space, A Short History of Doctor Who. It's a little book about the history of Doctor Who, which I suspect has just been updated to include Peter Picaldi. Replacing Peter Capaldi
as
the 14th Doctor in any employee status. The Radio Times Doctor Who covers have won an award they've been nominated for the best cover of 2013. The one where you had all the different Doctors. I actually threw mine away. I got bored of keeping it. They never looking at it. Might have had that.
What?
One. I had the Peter Davidson cover.
You can mail it to one
Peter
of us.
Davidson I can't now because it's at the dump.
That's what I actually looked out. I went through all the books and finally found the Peter Davidson.
Barry, do you hear this? I mean, they're taking Doctor Who stuff and throwing it away.
For a while, I thought, I don't really need that.
Click the cover off it.
Panic Moon.
They're English and they've had this all along.
They don't understand.
I've still got mine.
Isn't your husband Scottish?
Yes, he is.
Yes. has he kept his Radio Times cover?
It's mine.
It's yours.
Mine is.
Oh, there you go then. Have you kept yours then?
Yes.
I do apologise. I'll just show
it to you. That's all
right. Anyway, a May 2014 issue of Panic Moon fanzine is available now. Latest edition has a slight First Doctor bias, with articles about Unearthly Child, Marco Polo, Time Meddler, and the Savages. Blah, 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 blah. And that confuses nudes. Well, this podcast will be confusing.
Nudes, yeah.
So there we go.
It's illustrated.
Very good picture. That's it then. Managed to get through it all. Can't believe it. What have we got next week then, Kirby?
Hang on, let me...
Greatest
Show in the Galaxy.
Doctor Who and the Hang On, Let Me Bring It Up. Yes.
Oh, Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Which is ironic in itself because it isn't.
And it's the seventh Doctor story, so hopefully Matthew will be there.
And it's the last classic Doctor Who story to be off Earth.
Survival was off Earth at part of it.
Part of it, yeah. It's not quite the same now. It's entirely off Earth, then I'll say that. Yeah, so that's it then. And it'll be recording next Monday because I'm busy on the Sunday and Mary says
I think that Mary's busy too.
Yep, she is.
I wonder who will be with us.
Who knows if Matthew will?
You'll say you will.
And I will be very sleepy.
And you'll come up with that. Oh, I've been working all night. Blah 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 blah.
I'd like to meet Matthew. So
would you?
Yeah, please join us.
I don't think Matthew wants to meet you. It sounds like every opportunity you're on, he's completely avoided.
Oh.
Yeah. So is Reese though. So mind you, Reese has avoided all of us. Currently compiling his newest book of excuses. Yeah, sorry.
I noticed Reese will read messages.
Mm.
I can see when he's read private messages.
And you can tell when he's been wound up enough because he actually replies to them when he gets.
Oh, I'm gonna pull his chain in a few minutes.
Oh, wow. All right.
I apologize, listeners.
I'll get a little room
for that particular event. Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. See you again next week. Tally bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants. And so long, and thanks for all the fish from
Matt. Somebody had to say, oh, right, okay, thank you.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.